So I have to look twice to ensure that it's my fat and not somebody from Europe, somewhere in Europe who's come to Israel.
She's very young at heart.
Yes, young at heart. Okay, members, but by the way, let's look at the agenda. We have adoption. Item number 2, review and adoption of MIA. Then 3, the research report, the quarterly spending. Can I have somebody to propose that we adopt it as our working document? Honorable Gota, Honorable Fabs, seconding. Let's look at the minutes. But seriously, we look at them, and unfortunately, we couldn't adopt them because of the quota. Yeah, we did look at them and ran short of the quota. So I wonder if today we will be in a position to adopt them. Yeah. Yes, Honorable Fox.
That's true, Comrade Chair. As Ms. Fass just highlighted, we are in some kind of a predicament. It seems the membership of the committee was reconstituted, but in one way or the other, the terms of reference that stipulated the number of committee members was not adjusted accordingly. So we're in this predicament. But I've highlighted that again to the Office of the Chief Whip this morning. Yes.
Thank you, members. I think when I check, we are 9, yeah, and we need only one person. We need only one person. Okay. Right, so what we'll do is we'll go to another person. Let's take the first one to check if there's anything. No. Yeah. Okay. The first one is with the reader's attendance with the Standing Committee on Public Accounts. Any issue on that one? It's an additional page. We've got a composite and the additional page, yeah. So it's the additional page. Yeah. that you found it, Mima? Yeah. Any issue that you want to raise? Honorable Botha?
Chief, if I'm right, I see my name is not appearing here, and I definitely know that I have make apology for that day, for that meeting. Good.
So if there's nothing on those minutes, if there's nothing on those minutes, Honorable Chair, is there a problem?
In fact, I want to power from here, so he suggested that I may have unplugged one of these, but it looks, seems to me that they are working, so.
Okay.
I don't think the secretaries are using this.
Okay. They are not using. For recording, that's correct. No. So if there's nothing on those minutes that you want to raise, let's see. Let Mr. Halani come back so that he can go for the adoption. Then we'll move to the second step. We're just waiting for Mr. Halani. The second one, the 8th May, in the composite. The composite outside is written as, yeah, it's Joint Budget Committee Minutes of Proceedings. Can you see? This is the document you must refer to. Yeah. And I know that this one, we looked at it, we were just handicapped because of the quorum. Yeah, we looked at it as well as the 11th of May. Mm-hmm. Then the 16th of May, we also looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
Until the 23rd of May. Yeah. Alright, the one that we must adopt is of the 23rd May. 23rd May. Since Mr. Halani is back, for adoption members, Mr. Wayne, we want to adopt the minutes. 2 minutes. Yeah. Okay. I thought that members here. Let me look at my phone. It is, mine is switched off. Yeah. I've also switched off mine.
Mine is a
vibration. The 23rd May, anything on those minutes? Remember, we had a joint meeting with Science and Technology. Anything on those minutes? If there's nothing, can I have somebody proposing for adoption? Jitira was there, Wim was there, yeah. Jitira and Wim were here. Yeah. You were there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were there. So can I have somebody proposing? Okay, then seconder. Seconder, the table wing. Who is seconding? Who is seconding? Okay, wing, second. Right, the one of the 29th, with science and technology. Any proposal? It's only the Terry and Dwayne who are here, who is there. With science and technology? You were there, yeah.
What was
that? Yeah. Even with apologies, you are not there. You were there, I remember.
No.
Yeah. So who said, who proposes for adoption?
Yes, before that. I see on this minute that most of the members of the NCUP was not attending here. Because as I checking on that, on the 11th of May, it was actually the Select Committee of Health, Social Development, the Old Assembly. And on the 23rd of May, the 11th of May.
Those are already adopted.
Yeah, no, but as I say, our names are not appearing nowhere. Apologies. And I'm sure my secretary, all of them, my secretary sent apologies. But there's nothing on in the minutes that there is apology. Because, example, on the 29th of May, there was a plenary of the NCP, 10 o'clock and 14 on the tower. And we sent apologies for that, but it's not appearing nowhere on the minutes that the NCP members are yet absent.
You know what? Switch off your mind. You know what happens is that if it's a provincial week, we make a block apology for the NCOP. But what I have realized is that some of the secretaries, they don't bring apologies before the meeting starts or during the meeting. And after the meeting is ended, they would bring apologies. Or sometimes they don't. Because I know that with Mr. Ikebe, we never receive apologies. And he may say that the secretary sends apologies, but we never receive apologies. You see. So the secretaries, I think you must check with secretaries. Make sure that they send apologies, because sometimes they don't. But like I say, that if it's a provincial week, we make it a block apology, that we know that they are giving a provincial week.
But
the one of the 15, I don't know. Can I check with Karen if she did? And by the way, you were still new in the committee. Yeah.
In regarding of all these apologies, I have copies what we have sent through, and I can send it through to, because there's a new assistant now. But all that meeting, I got copies of that, which was my sending apologies in regarding when the NCOP Select Committee have anything that day. We send it in 2-3 days. When we go get a notice, we send the apology through to the secretary's office, your secretary's office.
Honorable Fab?
Chair, I think that the important thing here is to acknowledge what has happened. There's obviously been some technical administrative breakdown. We simply acknowledge it because, it will address both issues, both the concern that the member has raised and the fact that we need to ensure our systems are all working. But can we proceed through the chair?
Yeah. Thank you, Honourable Member. Is there something you want to say, Karen?
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, just to assist members, if there is a concern, at the back of that collection of minutes, there is what's called a master attendance list. It's just every single meeting, and then it's got, in terms of my records, who attended and who submitted apologies. So I think that's probably a very good resource to check if you were at the meeting or weren't and did send an apology, and that hasn't been recorded. So I think that's probably the useful to check those records.
Okay, let's
I think Honorable Fox, you came with a progressive suggestion. So let's, by the way, was there a proposer?
Yes.
Who proposed?
Yes.
Yes, with the... No, 29. Yeah. 29. And I said, but Dambuza was there as well. Dambuza, the Tere, and when who can propose and second. When proposes? Dambuza second. Then let's proceed to the next step. The 5th of June. Honorable Fox? Second? Oh, name and second. Then the next one, the 12th of June. Proposal Mashiko. Second up. Name and second. In the next one, 14th of June, Neman proposes and absent Dambuza second. Then the 20th June, no, that's nothing. We, yeah. It's just nothing.
It's still outstanding.
It's still outstanding. Alright, okay. Mm. Thanks, member. Honorable Fox, say something so that we can proceed to the next item.
Just,
your mic?
A small point. I see, are we waiting for public accounts to give us a draft of those minutes? Because the 20th of June is now 2 months away. And I think that a letter needs to go. We can't wait for minutes for more than 2 months because we are delayed on another committee, you know. Just now we'll be into November.
The difficulty with that is that when committees confer, is that the minutes have to correspond because otherwise there might be, you know, something very different in one set. So I've got my notes and obviously, but then I wait for minutes from Scopa before I can bring it to the committee. So I am still waiting for their notes and their draft minutes.
So can you make sure that you finalize it within the next week so that we adopt it? And what I would also ask Karen is that in the next meeting we're going to choose it. Yeah. In the next meeting, how far are you with the other sets of minutes? Because it's better that we adopt them as early as possible.
Ma'am, we've had, I think, 3 meetings this term, and the first set of minutes is complete, but the minutes from this week are still being written. I'm not sure that they can all be ready for next week, Tuesday, but certainly perhaps the first 2 could be.
Yeah, let's make it a point that next week the ones that are ready will be brought for consideration by the members and adoption. Earlier on, I said that there's somebody who's coming to assist parents, and I'd like him to introduce himself and tell you what he's here for.
Oh, hello, everyone. My name is Lovo Masenemisongalewa. I'm a committee assistant. I'm here to assist Piren. Thanks.
And for how long?
It's going to be 6 months. My contract is end up next year at the end of January.
Yeah. So for the 6 months, you'll be with Jane by then?
I'm not sure because we've been allocated to each and every committee. to a lot of committees, not to specifically one committee.
Yeah, thanks. You know, I was deliberately making this because they've been raising it as a problem in the committee that there's a lot of work that the committee secretary has to do, and he takes more time handling administrative matters rather than committee issues. For instance, we expect that the minutes of previous meetings ought to be ready, but rather than him concentrating on those things and other issues that are core business of the committee, concentrates on administrative issues which are good to the committee, but not that crucial. So our safety, I thought that they will be with us for all the 6 months, but I just wanted you to be aware because you always say that we need, you know, sufficient capacity in the committee for us to be able to do our work competently. So let's proceed to the next item, members. Remember, we sent letters to the department asking them to explain on some of the spending in their department, and we received responses. And there's a schedule of the responses that we have received. I've got a schedule, but also a set of the responses that we have received. Then we have the quarterly report, which means we must use the quarterly report together with the responses that we have received. But what I wanted us to start with is to look at the schedule of departments that were contacted and the ones that responded, so that we can make comments on the schedule. It's a one pager, the schedule is a one pager. When you look at the schedule, members, we've got the name of the department, the issues that were raised to the department, and the date when the letter was either, when it was sent to the department, and the date when the response was received. And on the last column, we have the outstanding responses. And we gave, the department a time frame of when to respond, as we believed that they would have information at their fingertips because they were dealing with budget hearings and they deal with budget issues on a daily basis, the CFOs. So there it is, some have not responded. So can I have comments? On the ones that have not responded. Housing has not responded. Mm-hmm. It has. It's home affairs. Sport has it responded? It's outstanding. It's sports, then public enterprises, and they said that their response is forthcoming, but it hasn't come in yet. Then water access, science and technology, they said that they will respond today, although they didn't respond at the time when we said they... Oh, yes, by the way, science and technology, correctional services, provincial and local government. Those ones we sent the letters later than the others, and that's why they are expected to respond today. So what is of concern is home affairs, sports and public enterprises. Can we have comments on those three? Is it because anyway, I can't, let me wait for you before I make my issue.
Outstanding, what does that mean? I mean, the other is actually outstanding in full response forthcoming and then response on that date, that date, but that's outstanding. Just say outstanding. There's nothing.
Yeah, what happened? What happened is that all the departments were informed. When should they respond? They were asked questions, respond on how they have spent. So the outstanding, it means that they haven't sent a written response. And wait for informed response for coming. A call was made, a follow-up call, and they said, no, we are responding, but they haven't responded. So we take it that they haven't responded. Honorable Pam.
Mr. Chair, just to move things along on this one a bit, I think, you know, the informed response forthcoming would seem to indicate, at least as you say, some contact there. I think that depending on who the letter was written to in the first place, one may escalate the letter up a little. I'm not sure who the letter would have been written to. But if we could put this through from the co-chairs now, I think, to indicate that people have had since the 10th, and that we are pleased to hear that it is forthcoming, but we require this by Tuesday, you know, by Monday. So I think something has to be done today about those informed responses forthcoming, because it sounds like there is at least some indication. The only ones, the two that appear totally outstanding, sports and recreation, of course, sports, I think, is quite a critical department at the moment and portfolio, and I think that if the, you know, there's no reason why we shouldn't be contacting the minister in this regard if we're not getting a response from the department. Water affairs and forestry, while critical broadly speaking in the country, I don't think we have quite the same pressure as we are having on the infrastructure in sport. So my focus would be to try and get the sports and recreation expedited, you know, before 2 o'clock today.
Any further comments? But I remember that Water Affairs, we had a problem that they have a target of budget eradication. And we said we must ensure that we push them and even interact with the portfolio committee so that they can spend on eradication of the budget system. So they must also be written a letter. Honorable Fox, as per your suggestion. Okay. Right, let's. The others, they are going to respond today. We are hoping that we will receive those responses. So I think we have cleared. Oh, coaching. Are you okay? All right. So we'll make a follow-up on the outstanding one. Let's look at the responses, ma'am. Okay. I hope that you went through the responses. Any comments on the Rao Shim?
No, Chair, it's just difficult if we hadn't had the letter that was actually sent to them, so we could then see what was being asked and what how they responded. Okay, so now I'm in the dock.
And indeed, as a parent, make copies of the letter. I ask him to make copies of the letter so that members can look at the letters and responses.
Ma'am, I didn't make copies for this meeting. I've got all the letters here. So perhaps in respect of the responses received, I can just briefly indicate what the questions were. They were very much standard. And if you see on the summary, on the list, if you like, of lists and responses, the issues identified were really the key issues that were asked of each department. So, for example, Home Affairs, the total expenditure was queried, and the current expenditure and issue of vacancies. So the department should, in fact, respond to those particular requests. Of course, for next time, I will certainly, when this practice is carried out again, for the responses, I will indicate the letters first, as well as I will index the responses as well to make it more clear. Thank you.
I think I can just ask us to give a background to the questions that were sent to different departments. Like, for example, the first response is coming from the Department of Housing. But this is a draft. It's not exactly the actual letter that was sent to the Department of Housing. But what we noted is that they had a total expenditure in the E&E of 8.8 billion. And in the, according to Section 32 reports, the Department of Housing has spent a total of 1.5 to the 8.8 billion that is allocated to them. So, which is giving us an average of 16.9%, meaning that they are underspending in the first quarter. So questions were raised by members that they should explain why they are underspending. And this is the response that they sent to us, basically, with regards to that particular underspending, sitting at an average of 16.9% in the first quarter. And the ideal expenditure level should be plus minus 25%, and they are sitting at 16.9%. So the members can just look at those responses and see if they are satisfied with the explanation that they have given to the committee.
Thanks,
Kaya.
Honorable
Mashiko.
How is
your mic? The problem with housing, all the programs have this software and other intangible assets. I don't know why they put it there, but at least under one program they have an amount, 113, but still nothing was spent on it. And their problem is delivery. The underspending is in this program is attributed to the ordering of goods and services, of which delivery and for invoices are being awaited. So I don't understand the order, and there's no delivery, and there's no invoices. And this is during the first quarter. That's what I don't understand. And in program two, the 8% under compensation of employees is still very, very, very low. Because if you just ask yourself, how many employees do they have? If they budgeted such a big amount. And because employees get their salaries, and this is what was paid out for the whole quarter, you ask yourself how many will be spent at the end of the fourth quarter. Under program two, this is still very questionable, compensation of employees. Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, Honorable Nema. Honorable Dambuza. I have no chance to talk.
Thanks, Chair. Just to add on housing, on that software, if you remember very well, in the meeting with the COPA, there was a problem, a challenge of systems that were not working properly, that were not implemented. So I'm having a problem because I think this also has to do with the systems. If the systems are in place, hence we noted that there was tampering on the allocation of houses. So just to add, we must have raised a concern about this one, if the systems are in place or not, why they are not in place, because they promised even last year they were supposed to have those systems in place.
Yeah, you are correct. The department, my understanding was that by the end of the financial year, they would have sourced the necessary equipment. That was the understanding during COPA hearing. And they indicate that they have made orders and the understanding is due to delays in delivery and invoices payment. So I'm just wondering. You see, that's why it's important for us that the method that we have adopted of sending written queries will assist us in working closely with portfolio committees, so that portfolio committees in their daily work can also make follow-ups with the department on why are those goods not ordered, why is the tendering process delayed, why all these things are happening. But like I've seen also on page 3 where they indicate that understanding in a program is due to accreditation of municipalities being slow in construction of housing. And I don't know, because the Honorable Schneeman and Dambuza, you sit in the portfolio committee on housing. Why you say that it's delayed? Because municipalities, If maybe, that's why I say the two of you, because you sit in the portfolio committee. Do you have an idea of why is there that delay? So that you can make a follow up with the department if you are not aware. Honorable Fox?
Yeah. Chairperson, I wanted to propose some of these details we are getting, and as we know, something like about 10 of them that are still going to come. If we look at the issue that has just been raised, which is information systems management and so on, it's not the only department with this problem. And one wonders if we couldn't focus on that particular area, as it were. There's a lot of underspending in every other area, but if we take that, that is something that has been identified, as you say, by the Auditor General, is here again, and is something that, unless they get right, is going to affect everything from the actual housing delivery to compensation of employees, etc., etc. Would it not be useful for us to focus in on that particular one and to hone in on that and to send them another question? Because the response we've got from them is a very generic kind of response. Everything is, well, invoices, you know, we've been waiting and it's anticipated or moving. It's really no response at all. And I think that we need to get right down to it and cut back to the bone and say, from your response, it sounds like there is a serious information system problem. Can you please detail what the problems are or challenges that you're facing?
and what steps or measures you have taken to resolve this. Because they haven't even said what measures they've taken. They're all in anticipation.
Question? No, just a question. Yeah, in fact, in my view, if you read these two letters from this department, they are just giving us the runaround without saying anything. Mm. We must never accept that they put some wool on our faces and think they'll get away. I think that in future, we need to highlight this at some point. Let's start saying, what were you supposed to be spending at this time in terms of your own objective, your strength plan, as well as your cash flow management? Then they'll give us the specifics we want. Then we'll be able to play our role. As it is now, this is kind of a friendly letter to a friend discussing generalities, not a few things. I think we should take it as of course, as we proceed, we will be adding on, but for the start, they start working, then they'll give us the specifics we want so that we will be playing our role. I think it might be sound as an administrative issue, but really, a department cannot rise to this committee, as a committee of parliament, and then just on a blank sheet of paper, no letterhead, no one. It just can't happen. We shouldn't accept it. Because it is not binding anybody. Like I'm saying, it must sound just like a personal letter to whoever. Yeah. Yeah. I think those formalities, we've got to speak to them. I'll stop here for now, Chair.
Yeah, thanks, Koshi, and which means it must be included in the letter, sir, and even the signatures and the dates, because they are not reflected, and anybody may deny even responding. So there are no dates, there are no signatures. Honorable Chairman, I've noted.
No, Chair, I've been covered in terms of the signatures and so on, because, I mean, one would just want to know, how are these letters actually received? Surely they didn't come blank like this. Just if we can get an indication. Thanks, Chair, because it's very strange, this.
They were asked to fax and email, the fax being for the benefit of the signature, obviously. Some did fax and some did email, but I think only one did both, and that was the Department of Education. So I think that you're entirely correct that they should certainly be signed and dated. But I think as well that this is the first time, if I may, Chair, but the first time the committee's attempted something of this nature, and I think these sort of issues could certainly be lessons that should be clarified moving forward.
So, Honourable Wayne?
Chair, thanks. Just on that point, it's just strange because even if it's sent, printed out by email, there will be a header of the memo, the subject, the date, the time stamp, and there must be a reason why the thing was blocked out. So we'd like to find out why the reason that particular header was blocked out.
No, you're correct. Even in the email, you can see that it was sent on the date and it's got that information and from whom it comes. But those are the issues that must be raised in the letter, at the beginning of the letter, in the first paragraph. Honorable Pastor, I saw your hand. Actually, I saw my chief of faith. Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. Another thing that confused me, I don't know whether in all the programs was, the program is outstanding performances as percent of allocated funds, or a bigger percentage worth of 24% of the total amount drawn for this period in all the programs. So I don't know whether we're looking at the first quarter. Because that, and when they say the total amount, maybe my calculations are wrong. The percentage goes up because it's for 5% for an allocated period. When they add the total amount, I think it needs to be a drop because it's that little percentage. But then maybe I've forgotten my mathematics. But each and every program starts with 10% of that of the allocated amount and a bigger percentage of the whole total sum of the whole through all the programs in houses. They tell you of that little amount and a bigger amount of the total of those millions. And we are referring to a certain quarter. So maybe, and I kept on getting questions of those calculations. Oh, it was an intention of confusing us, and then not.
I think you're right.
And also that the Chief Financial Officer Forum has just been re-established. That's the last sentence. It has been re-established. Which means they have just been changing without even touching to one another. And not even, yeah. So, Karen, have you been noting the issues that we must make follow up on? Honorable Dabuza? Honorable Machop, please show your mic.
Well, I think even on the issue of in a presentation of the it's just silent. That thing it doesn't mean any sense because they should have stipulated that we are supposed to be by this time we're supposed to be have accredited so many municipalities. But due to this we have done this, so we are left with this. So I think it's just silent even on that. And separate another thing I would like to request to you that I put something here because I'm interested to leave earlier because of the technical issues I'm experiencing. So on just to put it aside, when you reach this, I've identified on transport that on page 2 they are having a problem with the recognition. So many recognitions. It means nothing there because it's not stipulated which areas are affected, because it might happen that it's technical side, skills side of it, whereabouts. Why are we having such the reasons for having these resignations each and every time? About 63 resignations during the year. I don't know. Page 2 on transport. So I just wanted to raise that, but when we are, when we have come to this, at least you must also put my point. Yeah, Honorable.
Okay.
I noted subject.
Yeah. I am on this for the moment. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Board.
Chair, with great respect, this.
Honorable, pass your mic.
Sorry.
Chair, with great respect, this response from the Department of Housing is really not a response to a good response to a committee. With no signing, no where it's coming from, issues what is not clear what they had to respond. And I will say that they had to make a response as soon as possible, a new response, and then the committee can look into that. Because this thing is really a waste of time to looking at it. We will speculate on this issue. But I think that it's really not, they need to recognize this committee as a committee if there's responses like that.
Thanks, Honorable Member. Honorable Dictivi.
Yeah, Chairperson, which then brings me to the next point. I'm actually wondering why is it that we keep on discussing a document whose status is in doubt. We don't even know whether the DG has had sight of the document. He's got it, bears his name, but there's no signature and no letterhead of the department. I mean, these are simple things. Even things like presentations, we know departments actually, in terms of the guidelines that GCI has developed, they are supposed to use their own logos, if you like, and there are other departments that we know are very good at doing this. And why is it that the Department of Housing, in this respect, such crucial information, it is not, in a sense, being authenticated with a signature or something?
Thanks, Honorable. So, yeah. Can I have just on what he has said?
Yeah.
So that we can have way forward. Are you responding on what he has said? All right.
I think before we shift the blame to the department, I'd just like to point out one thing that I suspect that the problem is partially from our side, because when you print out the email, it's your choice on our side to see if the memo has been printed. It's not the department, it's not the originator that can control. So unless there's a problem with committees settings where it's being avoided, but given that there is a space here, it's unlikely there was a problem with the settings.
I think Mr. Wang is partially correct. I think that, as I mentioned earlier, but if you look at the last letter response, that's very much effectively an email. So I think that in some cases, Mr. Wang, you're completely correct. But in some cases, it's clear that the response is not correct. But I would just like to say that, as I said, that this is the first time the committee has instituted this practice. So I think that these issues of procedural and protocol issues can certainly be clarified to a point where, you know, where we can say that the letters must be signed and they must be dated. So those kind of administrative and logistics from our side can certainly be improved.
Honorable Fox?
Look, perhaps we ought to just correct something right at the beginning. It's not the first correspondence we have with the department. And in the past, not on all of it, in all fairness, we've had this from time to time. But in the majority of cases, we have had the proper format, if you like, a date, a signature, a this, a that, and the next thing. And I think that it may be useful for us now, rather than belaboring the point, to take a way forward, chairperson, and make a decision. In the first instance, I think, yes, the status of the responses are important, and we may simply ask for, in the further response that we are going to get in any event, where we talk about what measures are being taken and we ask for further detail, to indicate there that as this is going to be a legal document going before Parliament, please ensure that the department's letterhead is there and that a faxed copy of the signature or encrypted signature is attached to the letter, as this would represent a legal document to Parliament. So I think that rather than go backwards and forwards on that exchange, they know what the process is. It's not true that they don't know. They do know. That's the first question here. The other thing, I think, is also when we sign our documents, I mean, you would have written co-chairperson, and the way they even address is the chairperson. You know, they get everything a little bit upside down. And I think it is important that they recognize the JBC for what it is, a joint budget committee, you know, and that kind of thing. So, Chair, I want to propose a way forward. We've now been on this issue for some time. I think some substantive points have come forward from members. about different details from the co-chair, Comen Mashiko, and others. And I would suggest that the secretary notes those points that have already been made. He makes it clear to us what these points are, and we simply decide to move on perhaps these few things, because in all fairness, what time do we have left to look at all 10? You know, Chair, we don't have that kind of time, you see.
Thanks, Honourable Member. I've noted was it Schneeman? Then the chair will follow him after. Honourable Schneeman?
Now, Chair, I was going to say what would be helpful as well, if I'm looking at some of the responses here. We've been told what they've spent, and they're telling us that under expenditure back, we've got nothing to measure it against. Now, in the past, as the JBC, we have always asked for cash flow projections, which would then also indicate, if I'm not mistaken, please correct me, what they expect, what they're planning to spend on a monthly basis. And that's how we would measure as to whether, in fact, it's under expenditure or over expenditure. And even when I was looking at the first quarter draft report, which we'd gone through originally, and out of which these questions came, even there where we would say, well, they've only spent, Water Affairs have only spent 4% at the end of the first quarter, so whatever it is, but under expenditure, not necessarily, because we don't know what they had planned to spend. And I think it would be very helpful if there was a letter from the co-chairpersons to all the directors generals asking them for their cash flow projections. Otherwise, we're going to at times ask why they are underspending, when in fact, in line with their projections, they are not underspending. They may be on par or they may be over, but because we're looking at a percentage, we think they're underspending. So I would suggest that we ask for that. There's one other point I want to point out, Chair, and to the co-chairpersons. And that is, if I look at the way some of these responses are done, the one is to the chairperson. There's no chairperson, there's co-chairpersons. The others are to the committee section. And I think that one would need to check as well when we write these letters, in whose name are they being written, so that we make sure that there's consistency. Because my fear is that if it's written to the committee section, in all honesty, you may get weak responses. But if it's to the co-chairpersons, you may get another response. I don't know. So I'm just saying that that's really just an administration. We don't need a response now. I think it's just an administration area we need to look at. But I really think the cash flow projections will help us a lot. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Honourable Member. Honourable
Gutierrez. Chairperson, I think to an extent, Honourable Trust has dealt with some of the issues that I wanted to deal with. But I want to find out whether we do not want to establish it as a common practice that throughout our correspondence with departments, they will always send documents to us electronically rather than them being faxed and so forth. I do know, Chairperson, that departments, heads of departments, DGs, etc., and you will see this in the annual report of departments, they can have electronic signatures. All they need is a PIN code, and those services are provided in departments. Our own state information technology agency is right at the helm of the e-government business, if you like. And it talks of a triangular relationship where it's the citizens, government and citizens, government and business, and government to government. And that particular relationship is important in this respect. And I do not think that we can complain about the absence of those services. So they should actually get their house in order in that respect, because electronic documents are very easy to trace and so forth, you know, to follow up and all that.
But if somebody says, I bought something and so forth, it may, in the end, be quite a disputed fact, and you may not even be able to get to the conclusion of the matter. So I'm just trying to say that we should emphasize that, perhaps in line with what Greg has said, as you write to them.
I think so let me get clarity. So with the other responses, I was still going to pinpoint things that they must, where we must make follow-up or what. Because Honorable Dambusa, before she left, she indicated that with transport, there's a problem of resignation. Yeah, and it's a clear-up problem. So we can't just dismiss it because of technical, matters related to correspondence, but it's a crucial issue which we must talk about. So, yeah, but are we agreeing that besides those technical problems, we will look quickly at other departments? Yeah, let's go to education, because I've seen that almost more than 20% goes to higher education institutions. And it has to be transferred 50% within the first quarter. Yeah, the first quarter. Then the other 50% must be transferred on monthly basis to November. When I looked at that percentage, I was then asking myself, why should we continue to have a problem of lack of skills when a huge chunk of transfer payments from the Department of Education goes to higher education institutions? What is it doing? Is there value for money? As I read the response, I was asking myself that question. Because if you read the first page of education response, the first paragraph, it says the transfer payments to higher education. Where is it? Yeah. The first sentence says it should be noted that 95.4% goes to transfer payments, mainly to higher education institutions. And the transfer payments to higher education institutions alone are 74.1% of the total budget. But we have a problem of lack of skills in government. I'm just saying, it's one of the things that as I read, it came to my mind that, but why should this be the case? But let's have comments, Honorable Mashiko.
One of the departments is sending approval from the National they work strictly according to the document from the National Center. I don't understand it. And then the last page also goes to what Greg has said, that we should never cash flow. That's what they said in the last page. But what I do not understand is that should Center also explain why they set up those
Yeah, I think as the explanation they provided, that the standing agreement with National Treasury is based on the fact that the financial year of teacher institutions starts from January 2020, and it's to assist with cash flow spending, so that at least, although for the first 3 months there will be some problems, but that's the beginning of the year, and when they transfer in April and May, is to make it easy for those institutions to become more functional. So I don't know what other members think, but I think it's a reasonable arrangement between them and National Treasury. I don't know, but Honorable Fox?
Yeah, I'm going to respond on a comment that Co-Chair that you made on the percentage allocated to higher education institutions. My understanding of the budget process and so on in terms of education and a few others is that certainly when it comes to higher education, the provinces don't contribute to higher education from the equity grant at all. But I stand to be corrected on that. I understand that this is a national allocation, whereas the schools have a dual allocation. You know, there are allocations from the province's equitable fund as well as from the national funding as well, department from here. So if we take, if that assumption is correct, then 74%, if not alone, if it, may not be considered a lot if it's considered under those particular terms. That would be my first comment. The second one is, I would prefer to ask myself a question that says, what is it that in the other educational tiers, etc., they are getting, and what is it that they are not able to achieve? And what is the reason why they are not being able to achieve it, rather than simply transferring 10% more to them? You see, are they indeed expending their funds effectively and efficiently, would be my first question at the other end.
Can you, who?
Well, if you look at the different provinces, who, because it's a concurrent fee, so in each province, in each school, etc., are those funds being spent efficiently and effectively? Are they being managed efficiently and effectively? Why is it that in some provinces it is much more efficient and effective than in others? What is the reason there? So the question really is, the comment is based on the point you made, Co-Chair, about 74% going to higher, and I think I've made two comments there. The one is that I think that's the only allocation they get. And the second is that I think we ought to look at just how effectively provincial education institutions are utilizing their funds.
Yeah. You know, Honorable Member, the reason why I was talking about the 74% is based on the argument that teacher institutions are autonomous. But being autonomous, 74% of the National Education Department goes to them. And as government, I don't know whether the department has got some influence in determining the outcomes, so that the 74% that goes to those institutions can assist government in addressing the problem of lack of skills, rather than it going to them and them retaining their autonomy without, you know, being efficient and, you know, effective in spending that amount, so that we can have sort of a relief on the lack of skills that we have and on the high unemployment that we have, based on the fact that people do not have the necessary skills that are needed by the economy. That's where I'm raising, that's the angle I was coming from. Honorable Wayne?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think just in response to the answer that posed, I think this relates back to the workshop we had with National Treasury and Seapoint. I mean, we raised this problem, cross-platform problem with private enterprise as well. We have grants, we've got things like e-transfer, and then after that, what is the role of JPC in terms of how deep do you want to get into the performance? I mean, who monitors the grants? Afterwards, is it department, is it National Treasury, special task team? The problem with public enterprise at the moment is once you get transferred to the SOEs, they say this is a commercial agreement, please don't touch us. No. And then we realize that it's, you know, what else can we do? And I think that's an old problem, it's not a new problem that we're having.
There are, Mr. Wang and the chairperson and other members have raised, is a serious problem, and it's in respect not just of, for example, the higher tertiary institutions and the state enterprises, but also institutions such as Chapter 9 in the Constitution. Because they're a semblance, because they're independent, the issue is, and I believe it is an issue which the JBC should discuss, how then can you Parliament oversee them? In the case of the SREs, after my research, it's fairly apparent that it is a business agreement, so that in terms of the Parliament, especially the Department, which is responsible for those institutions, but then Parliament, can hold them accountable in terms of the business agreement. So it depends very much on then on what the contract is with the National Department, and Parliament can assess the details of that contract, and if those details weren't sufficient enough, we're tight enough, and then make comments on that. But it is a very complex issue.
Honorable Schneemann?
Your Honor, Chair, I mean, it brings us back to a point where it's an issue we've been raising on an ongoing basis with various departments. Is how, once they've transferred those funds, what monitoring mechanisms do they have in place? I'm not so sure it would be our role to go further down the line. That's not our role. Our role is with the National Department and to monitor the National Department. But it's for the National Department or for the particular department to say to us how they're monitoring those funds. So if you take, for instance, housing, I mean, it's a question we've raised on a number of occasions with them, is once you've transferred those funds, what mechanisms do you have in place? One, to make sure there's expenditure. But two, to actually do some sort of periodic verification and also checking up on the quality of expenditure. And I think those are the things that we need to be emphasizing on the department. So, although I know that housing has started now to respond to that, but I would say that those are the questions we need to be asking to the department that accounts to us.
Question, raise your hand.
Yes.
I'm partly covered by Honorable Schumann. But I think at one point we agreed that for our own focus, autonomy will not entail independence. Because independence would be saying you can fund your own programs and activities. Autonomy just means that you are free to manage your own institution internally, but you remain accountable for the public funds that have been allocated to you.
Honorable Schneemann? Any further comments? But we must also, maybe it should be our homework, also think of how are we going to handle this issue of monitoring vis-a-vis value for money and our interaction with portfolio committees and national treasury. Can we look into it? Can we look into it so that when we make follow-ups, we would not necessarily step on what portfolio committees are supposed to do. Unless if you've got solutions now. Because
because we must also remember that portfolio committees must be given space to do their work. Honorable Ntebe, I will have noted you.
Chairperson, I don't know if I'm going to say anything to be of any help, but I'm thinking that, you know, we've always discouraged this silo mentality that threatens to engulf institutions, including, of course, committees of parliament, with regard to the work that we do. Whilst indeed it is correct that portfolio committees should concern themselves with the work of departments, etc., ours, I think, is more of an overarching role which should look at a wide range of issues. And I'm thinking here whether, for instance, the midterm development indicators, and the list is not necessarily exhaustive, released by the Policy Coordination and Advisory Services from the Presidency to say this is how we are doing and so on and so forth. I'm not really, it's not only relevant to specific portfolio committees, but I thought that the whole question about value for money, ensuring such effectiveness of departments with regard to expenditure efficiency and so forth, it's closer to the indicators as released. So, yeah, you are correct. We should think about it, but I find that to be a somewhat reasonable template, if you like, to look at and improvise, of course, in line with the work that we are doing. I don't know.
Chair, just something, again, it's something that we have discussed on a number of occasions, is the need to bring on board portfolio committees, but we're not quite doing it. And I think that's something that we need to maybe agree that with this first quarter report, that there are things that we need to refer to portfolio committees formally. So, for instance, if it relates to education and the transfer to provinces, and we wanted to establish how provinces are monitoring those funds, which they in turn transfer down, further down the ladder, or down the chain, should I say, then I think it's something that we should then perhaps be then communicating with that relevant portfolio committee to say that we would want to highlight to you these are areas that we feel need to be monitored more closely, and we need to then see how the portfolio committee can help us with that. So that's what I would suggest to you. That we agree that with this, these departments here we're getting responses from, that where they have issues for portfolio committees, we take them, put them formally and bring them on board.
Yeah, thanks, Honourable Member. Kaya, before I give Mr. Hanan, do you want to say something? Okay.
What I was going to suggest is that what we have done here is just to do the budget analysis. And I see that members are interested in the impact analysis. So as a researcher, what I was going to do is to note some of the issues that are raised by members and consult with other researchers who are dealing, let's say, for example, with sport. And then I'll say that members are interested in this particular impact analysis. Can you make further research on that? Because what you have done here is just purely the budget analysis, not the impact analysis.
Thank you very much, Chair. You know, I've been listening really to this discussion. Wondering how to resolve it. You see, because I'm a young man, at least I do have some energy to look at some of the young person. You know, I think there's a big danger in the way we're discussing this thing. And that danger is causing more confusion. Because the point is that questions were written to these people. The responses are here. If I were ourselves, the next step for me would not to, I would go and read all of these things. But then call the respondent to then raise questions that come out of this. So that then you don't proceed with assumptions and assumptions and assumptions. For instance, I would immediately ask the Department of Housing, what do you mean by this? What do you mean by this? What do you mean by this? Clarify this, etc. Kind of in some form of meeting, having received the answers. I'm listening to the discussion now, and I do see that there are assumptions which I think are becoming much more dangerous. Because you are saying again, some other letters must be written again to clarify part of the confusion, and confusion, and confusion going to pipe. It's not really resolving the matters, in my view. And I think that's the problem. And I'm not sure what it's that we're doing. Because I would have thought, having then received these things, letters that they were responsive, my view would have been the next step, call a meeting then with the respective departments one by one to say, well, firstly, thanks for responding to our letters. But then the issues that you were raising earlier about the officialdom of this letter, for instance, how official is this letter? There's no letterhead, etc., etc., therefore, is it official from your point of view? But secondly, in terms of the content, to understand, is this content correct? And then we start raising the pertinent questions. If you are talking about, for instance, the issues of education, which could have been clarified clearly by the AJOD or the minister, in terms of the 74% to higher education, and the assumptions that the co-chair talked about, the autonomy, independence, etc. How do those things relate to one another? So I'm just saying, I suspect we're back at square one. But the bottom line is that questions have not been resolved. Uncertainty still remain in my view. And until the men and women who have written these things, who are responsible for these things, are brought here to respond on each of these matters appropriately, I think the questions remain unanswered, and therefore, the more questions unanswered. Whilst I was a younger man, I did sing much that song, "More Questions Than Answers." I think this is what is coming out here, and I'm just saying, I don't want to plead to you, but in my view, I think it would be nice then to invite these people now. Don't write back the letters. Invite them because they have given you this thing. And start getting these issues from them. I think that would be the best way to go, in my view.
All right. Thanks, Honorable Member. Honorable Mashiko.
Thank you, Chairperson. When looking at the responses and understanding the basis on which they were asked, I see the difference between the two responses. Because the first one, I don't know whether we can say we should call the committee or what, or we are satisfied about the way we have handled. But when looking at the second one, I think they understood the questions, and the answer they gave us is a bit zoomed towards what was being asked. But what came out of it from what the co-chair Mavi said is something that can maybe discuss with the portfolio committee as it was asked. But according to me, I think when these responses from the department were more helpful, and it depends whether with one we can tell someone to come and answer, but not with everybody, because there's a lot great difference to me according to the way of responses we received. The other one was just saying, let's respond and see if they can pick up something. And the other one gave a lot of clarity.
according to me, the one on education gave a lot of clarity on which we can follow, maybe with the portfolio committee or any other way we say. But I think the way we responded to our first quarter report is, has given us some direction, because we can pick up some issues differently from the different departments. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Member, Honourable Fox.
Yeah, I want to propose some move forward. I'm trying to take into account the time frames of the committee work, looking at the fact that this is the first quarter, April, May, June. We need to pass it by the end before we rise, meaning I think the 15th of September, also when the Minister of Finance is here or the Deputy. Now, when we look at that, we look at the deadline and move back. And I want to propose that we just tackle one or two things at a time. We note what has been said here now. There is a lot that we need to take on board for the next one. But that we take a decision. We have this report. We have the responses. They are not, we've already exhausted the point that they've not been extremely helpful, apart from maybe one. So the only thing we can do, I believe, is to move forward on that, perhaps to take one of the responses, if a department can come and see us on Tuesday, or for that matter, Friday, well and good. But I don't even know if we're having a Friday session. I haven't, just not looking at it at the moment. So I'm saying that in the future, we may want to take that point forward, but right now we know for a fact we're not going to get a department within 2 weeks here. That we know. It's a fait accompli. But having said that, we need to be asking Housing now and the others to come here for the second quarter, you see, and to plan the second quarter so we immediately hone in on them. We're going to get that report, if I'm not mistaken, in October. And there's no reason why we shouldn't see two or three of these people at the end of October. That's my proposal, Chair, that we get try to get a more focused response to one or two questions we're asking. And in our final report to the House, we make it clear that the new operational style of the committee is going to have to include far more engagement, active engagement with the various departments that have come up, and that we would expect in future clear and focused responses to our questions in this manner, so that we utilize this first quarter to set the tone and tackle one or two in detail. Because, Chairperson, time is not going to allow us to see all of the departments we should see. But I think we need to take what has been said on board by the Honourable Khalani and say, let's plan for the second quarter. Let's ask these departments to come. Time is not lost. We'll still see them this year.
But when talking about the second quarter, we must also remember that when we come back from constituency period, we'll also be looking forward to the MCBPA. So we must think of both. Honourable Fox.
You see, Chair, I think if we plan, we can do it. I mean, in the past, we have planned certain Wednesday meetings and so on. There's no reason why we can't spend a whole of Friday. And I've said this before, I think the committee has agreed, once in a quarter or twice in a quarter, let's start the meeting at 9 and finish at 3. And let's get these two or three departments in. But it's absolutely, I think that we need to plan ahead, and we've now got quite a few support services on board, so we should be able to do this.
So if I understand you well, is that at the same time you must look at which departments to call for the next quarter.
we must identify them so that even in our report, we will highlight it to Parliament that some of the departments that we will call, or we will call certain departments. And doing so, doing it in conjunction with or liaising with portfolio committees. Honorable Khalani.
Thank you very much. Look, there's no problem focusing on one department for them until that department is out of the what we call ICU. There's nothing wrong with that. Especially in view of the fact that the MTBBS is around the corner. You're doing that precisely because you want them to be saying to that department, in fact, you are sending a clear message to everybody. That as a committee, we can stay focused and work on one department until it is fine. So that as you go to MTBBS, the very same department, in fact, becomes a key department during the MTBBS hearings. Because you are saying to them, can you then justify why in the new budget you should be given more on the basis of these problems that you've had in the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years and even now. See, to me, writing so many letters to everybody does create some problem. Okay, there is a particular trend now. Ms. Faf say you can choose 2 or 3. I say you can even choose 1 or even 2. And say, because we think you're in the ICU, and so as we are preparing for the MTBBS, not necessarily about the MTBBS, but there must be a link, by the way. So our engagement now towards the MTBBS, towards budget, etc., you are then able to send a very strong message that says, no, this joint budget committee is not going to tolerate inefficiencies, whatever they are. So I'm saying that those are the kinds of things you might be wanting to look at. In other words, instead of trying to bite more than what you can chew, if you like. So just say 1 or 2 departments in my view, and take it from there. To me, the issue is really not to rush for the sake of a report or whatever. Just to do the best work. We're not in a big rush here. And therefore, I mean, look, it's also not difficult. I think I must just disagree here with Comrade Frank. Getting these people, they are responsible to come to Parliament. And therefore, getting them to come and clarify the issues they have responded to is their responsibility. They are paid to do that. There's somebody called a DG who is paid to be an accounting officer. And so, for him to be able to earn his salary, in the first place, why is he earning his salary in the context of this performance that you see here? And therefore, that is why he's got to respond to exactly what are the issues that he's talking about. The issues that relate to planning, cash flow issues, and other things. So that all of us are clear. But also, as we move MTBBS and beyond, are we then justified to be able to pass the money and give him the money that he's asking for?
Thanks, Honorable Member. Honorable Schneeman.
In terms of a way forward, and also just to remind us that we're expecting a whole lot more responses.
Yes.
So I don't think we, you know, this is not the only response we're getting. So I would suggest that we, there's all these responses that are expected today and next week, that once all those are received, then also they need to go through all of them and say, look, which are the critical ones. But if I can just comment on the ones that we've got here, if I look at these two departments that responded, the one that sticks out at me with alarm bells ringing is the Department of Transport. So I certainly would say that possibly one of the departments, one of the few departments we want to focus on, would necessarily possibly be the Department of Transport. And perhaps what we need to be looking at is What are the, where are the areas of emphasis in terms of government expenditure moving towards 2010? Public transport, stadium building, those are critical areas, infrastructure, etc. And we then may want to zoom in out of this group here to two or three in line with the others, what the others are saying. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah. No, thanks, members. And already you've started with transport, which can be one of those that can go into incubators, yeah. And I know that sports, remember that sports has been a problem even during the previous financial year. Understaffing and not spending, and they haven't even responded now, which means that there are serious problems. So I would, on my side, I would say sports must follow suit. And remember that the portfolio committee on sports, has requested that when we call the department, they want to be there so that they would take up as follow-up issues that will be raised. They want to follow up on those issues. So they have requested that they want a full meeting with us when we call the department. So sports must be one of them, transport is one of them. I wonder if we are going to take advantage now that already two have come up to indicate. If we can have at least four, a maximum of four. Or four is too much, Honorable Cup. The way you are taking your hand. Your head.
Yeah, with due respect, Co-Chair, I think that you know, time is absolutely against us. We won't do a proper job on it. I think I totally agree with the transport, the identification. What's worrying me about sport, and I do hear what the Honourable Kalani is saying about they know they have to come here. Now, we can work on that, they know they have to come. But when are we available? You see, we're not available every day either. And that does pose certain limitations on departments. If we give a department 1 week's notice and say, you'll be here next Friday, they may well have another commitment somewhere else. That's all I'm looking at, is the logistics of it. So certainly one would have liked to have seen sport and recreation here, but they haven't even sent through a response. So, Chairperson, I want to say no more than to say, let's just take two departments for this particular report. And let's focus on those two and rely on written responses to the rest with a follow-up in the second.
Yeah, Chair, then, if I don't have a problem with that, I would then like to propose a second department for this particular report, and that would be the Department of Housing. And my motivation for that, really, would be the increase in the increased budget that they're getting. Coupled with that is the things that we've seen around the country, the various protest actions, and many of them related to housing, and also the constant reports that are coming out in the newspaper. Not that we necessarily go by newspapers, but there are constantly reports of projects that are stopped, half completed, etc. So I think that I would personally try and push for housing. I'm a bit biased towards housing.
Yeah. Thanks, Honourable Member. You know, when I said at least four, I saw that, you know, in the discussion, we are now saying let us focus on particular departments, besides the fact that we will be looking at all departments in general, but to give a certain group incubation. And I thought if, for instance, if we say for a year, for this financial year, we concentrate on the following, I would say at least maximum, that's why I said the maximum. Because one other, we can't exclude housing, we can't exclude transport, we can't exclude sport. But the major patient is home affairs. That we can't. So I would propose that let's take the four and run with them for this financial year. Transport, so that when we call either quarterly hearings or even during the MTB, but these ones, one of them must appear, you see. Because remember, Home Affairs is an old station. An old station. And there was a task team that was sent there to assist them, so that we check whether what that task team was sent for is fruitful. So I'm not sure, but I was just saying those four, so that we can at least buy sufficient, not too much. Honorable Alani?
I think this is my last interaction now. I'm not on DevRel Chairperson. Still, I'm a last guest for today. Look, you're right for the financial year. For the financial year, there must be four. But then I want to change the approach a bit. Well, Home Affairs, I'm not sure whether they are out of the ICU. You're right. And Correctional Services. I'm not sure whether Correctional Services are out. I think they were there. Of course, housing must be there. But then the fourth must not be a single department, must be a cluster. Now, what you might want to do there is to call them the whole social cluster as a cluster. Because part of the problem here is that this integration seems to be getting lost somewhere. And so, as a committee, I think that principle of ensuring clusters work also must not be lost. I know, for instance, the justice cluster was one of the clusters that was working very well at some stage. But social cluster has the biggest challenges. In the context of that, you might then want to say housing again would form part of the cluster. And then I think you might want to sit and look at what cluster you want to look at. You might want to focus to one, three very specific departments as departments in isolation, but also a cluster. Because the cluster must also be dealt with in the context of the cluster. But having said that, I think what would also be critical then, just at the planning stage, is to call the sector portfolio for planning, so that it becomes useful if people are talking. You would then be able to say, this is the angle of the portfolio committee. This is our angle. So that there is proper synergy. You don't only see a situation where people talk past each other. I've had that experience in the context of our work. When we work with some committees, you see some people can raise irrelevant questions. That would be useful, but irrelevant in the context of a discussion. So I'm just saying it would be useful for them if you sit with Home Affairs, just brainstorming, focus issues, and therefore are you able to lift up those things.
So let's finalize the department. Let's go to agree. I want us to finalize. Oh, do you want to come before we finalize the department?
Yes, I want to clarify exactly what we're agreeing on. If we're agreeing on the annual thing, we don't have a problem with that. Saying for the year, you know, we'll do that for the next four quarters. But if we're saying for this particular quarterly report, then I have a slightly different view. That's what I'm saying. For this quarterly report, I don't think we have time for that. That's what I'm saying. But, you know, if we're going to do the job properly, I think we can make a start in that direction. So, Chairperson, what I would agree to, Co-Chair, is to say, let's identify the departments we want to tackle in the annual, you know, the 12 months of the budget, and then let's agree on what we will do for this quarter. and then we'll make a move. That's my proposal.
Yeah. Honorable Sir, I thought that most of the members agree that for this quarter, with the report that we are busy with, we can't call the department. But we isolate departments that we will have closer, microscopic eye view over those departments. So that we already know that in the next quarter's report, we are going to call these departments. Because the problem is time. And we don't want the excuses that somebody sends a junior official, because we have indicated last year that we don't want to see junior officials in one of the accounting officers. So I think that's the understanding. That's why I was saying, let us confirm, agree on the department, so that I don't take it from, you know, different responses that this member takes this department, this one says this department, so that we are all agreed that transport is one of them. Housing, number two. Human affairs, sports. Yeah. No, I'm still continuing with the list. I'm checking. Doing my checklist. Sports. Are we agreed, or that it will be in the incubator, or it will be for once off?
No. Let me just deal with sport. You see, with sport, there was a. Especially in respect to what Comrade Greg was raising when he said, there is a letter that we had received from the Chief Whip in respect of 2010 that was saying, in fact, also just my own experience in terms of committees that have dealt with 2010, I think it has been problematic. And the letter was that when we deal with 2010 issues, there must be a whole range of committees. So I'm saying, let's not count sport as part of the incubation, therefore. Rather, 2010 is a special case, and therefore a special regime is necessary for that. And that would mean as many departments as you can get. There's finance, sport, there's finance, there's transport, there's whatever. So I'm saying, in this context of this discussion, don't relate to that. Rather, let's then look at, as I was saying, if we are able to say, for instance, even transport, the discussion that relates to 2010 in respect of transport must not be entertained. Because they would be part of that broader discussion again. But the ones that you have raised, home affairs, housing, and this is why I was saying correctional service, because I've never had people saying they are out of the ICU. I'm not sure what's going on now there.
Yeah, my understanding was these departments, we are looking at their capacity to spend and the problems that are there, not necessarily the detail. And fourth, my understanding was sport has been having a problem since the previous financial year of high vacancy rate. And high vacancy rate, it means that they won't have the capacity to coordinate and do what is expected of them for 2010. That's the problem they've been having. And instead comes the MTBPS, in their adjustments, they will shift the money that was earmarked for salary payment to another program. So, but it wasn't in relation to 2010. But there must be capacity in that department. They must have systems set in place. Because you can't coordinate, you can't do all this. I mean, a major project like that one without systems. But if members are saying, let's exclude sports, it's fine. Let me just hold it for the meantime. Home affairs, we have agreed on that one. Then correctional services.
Honorable Cinema?
Chairman, maybe I'm a bit lost because I thought that we were going to perhaps wait for all of these responses to come through today still and then to go through them and then identify. Right now we're just pointing at one and getting. I thought that we were going to wait for all of these responses so that during the course of next week, even if it means bringing in the management committee to go through those responses for a special meeting, to go through the responses and none of that identified. I am a little bit wary, though, of saying, well, these are the particular committee departments that for next year that's all we're going to really be focusing on. I'm a little bit wary of taking that approach. I would say, yes, certainly you could have a couple of core departments, but that can't be your only area of focus because each quarter when you get responses, you may pick up something else. So I would suggest that, my suggestion really is that get all the other responses that are coming in today and so on, go through them next week, and from an informed basis of what those responses are, pinpoint the key departments. But we understand, with the understanding, that's not our only focus for the entire rest of this financial year, but that there may be from time to time. But I think in terms of sports and recreation, I don't think we're saying throw them out. We don't want to monitor. We don't want to check. But I think what's being raised is that their main priority is 2010. That's their main priority. And so the caution is that we don't all be running around calling them in, but that if we want to genuinely meet with them, then it needs to be a coordinated approach with all the relevant committees. That's, I think, what was being said.
Okay.
Question?
With regard to the question whether we include correctional services or not, I think it will be some kind of a tough call on us in terms of time and focus. I have no doubt in my mind that when you deal with correctional services, you've got to deal with them in the cluster, Then with them extending your focus to other departments, safety and security, justice and so forth in the class. Because when we dealt with them, we realized that there are pointers that say, when you address only issues in correctional services, we are doing half the job. Earlier on, we were talking about focusing on the social cluster. Now, it would seem we want to deal with two clusters within this very limited time. Of course, it's undeniable that that department has many major problems to focus on. I would then say, in the light of that, we had some dealings with them in the past, not far-reaching, though. We would then consider them in the annual programs, but for the time being, let's not exclude them because we've identified the social cluster. Hello.
No, sir. No, I think we are closing the meeting now. Mr. Schneeman is right. Let's wait for the soul of this one, and then let's take a decision. Well informed. Let's not entertain any other thing that relates to this. Thank you very much.
Now you've closed it because I wanted to close it that way, that let's leave everything out. Then in next week's meeting, we finalize the department, but we will look at it at management level and finalize it in the committee meeting. Honorable Fab?
Chair, just on that note, let's just set a deadline. That deadline was today. And I don't think we can just keep on extending it ad nauseam. That deadline closed at 12 today.
And so I think that those responses should be made available to you and the co-chairs in the first instance, and that, you know, if Monday evening, or if the if Tuesday or something, we must take a decision so that the people can come in on Friday, if we are going to pursue that route. Because, Chair, I keep on stressing this, time is not with us. We've got two more meetings to resolve this. Because our quorum for that will be when we're with the NCOP on Friday the 7th. That's when we're going to be passing this report.
Yeah, but Honourable Fox, when you say that we need really call them for next week, are we agreed that we need to call a department for this, based on this report? Let me get it clear, because I thought we were moving towards another direction, but can I get it? Are we going to call a department for a hearing based on this report before we finalize the report? Let me get from the members. Honorable Mashiko.
I think initially Honorable Fats mentioned that we take in mind what we have for the first quarter, considering this department. And then for the second quarter, then we'll call those departments, because if they reappear here. But we already have them, we already know that they are in an incubator, as you already mentioned. But to call them for this first quarter really is, time is against us.
That's how I understood it. But when Honorable Papa was talking about knowledge, maybe if we call them for Friday next week. That's why I was asking, are we saying we want to call them? Because my understanding was that generally the members say that we can't for this quarter, we can't. Based on this quarter report, we must finalize the report, we can't call them, but we will call them. We will call them after we have decided next week. Yeah. But for now, we agree that we are not calling the department for this report.
We were expecting some clarification on the first department to discuss home assets. We can take that clarification if it comes back, and if it doesn't come back, it will appear in our report that it is one of the departments that we are going to deal with, because we agreed that their response was totally not satisfactory. Thanks.
Honorable Isom, who first or Shinema? Or first?
Chair, I think maybe let me be short and to the point. What I'm saying is we'll get those questions and the report will need to be still added to. You know, what we have here will not be including some of those concepts, etc. So the idea is that when we get to Friday, we will have had a lot, hopefully a lot of those responses by today. They will be analysed for our benefit. We'll look at them at the management committee to take forward into the report. Along the lines that say, we have identified these departments to come before us, you know, for a contact engagement in the next term. So we're trying to finalise a draft report for Friday on the basis of information that will also be in today and we'll take forward. Not a physical visit from them per se, because we won't have the time for that. But I think that at Friday's meeting, we should already be in the process of identifying departments we should write to tell them we want such an engagement, and for a date to be identified by the committee section and yourselves as co-chairs.
Thanks, Honourable Member. That's the approach that we're going to take. We'll finalise the department next week.
but also we must move towards finalizing the report, which means that the responses that we'll be getting will be reviewed at management committee level. Then in the next meeting, they must be part of the report so that we can start finalizing the report.
Okay. I wonder if we should take 5 minutes break. Do we need a break?
Are we through? Yeah. Okay. Sarah?
I'd just like to get absolute clarity for my own sake and from the side of the administration. In terms of the JBC's agenda for next week, there are 3 meetings scheduled. The first is on Tuesday, the 28th. That's usually 10 to 1 o'clock. The second is on Wednesday, and that's in attendance with the Standing Committee on Public Accounts. On the implementation of the PMFA as well as the public sector vacancies. So I think that's obviously a very relevant meeting. And then on Friday, there is arranged, a meeting by National Treasury on Treasury guidelines regarding the budget for the forthcoming year. That has been confirmed, can obviously be rescheduled if necessary. So in terms of the meeting on Tuesday will be, I think, the key meeting in terms of reviewing responses and then looking at the report. But what I would possibly suggest, if meetings aren't going to be rescheduled, for perhaps a core team to be established at that meeting to then finalize the report during the week. Thank you.
There is a management team. I'm not going to have a small team. And she's the this structure and the management team will exercise on whatever team that is.
The management team is the one that if something that's supposed to be done by the committee cannot be done by the committee, will be done by the management team and be brought to the committee for acceptance. Yeah. So, I want Honorable Pops to speak.
Yes, on that agenda that was put forward as a proposal by the committee secretary, I think that there's no reason why we can't do both of those things. It's got here a briefing for 4 hours or something by National Treasury. It's not going to take that long. So we can deal with the report and that, and any minutes that have to be passed.
Yeah. Which, And Honorable Pops, you've always indicated that one of the Fridays, at least once a month, once or twice a month, we must have it as a long weekly Friday. So it means we can continue with other work after our meeting with National Treasury on Friday to do other work. Let me thank you, everybody, for having been part of this meeting and the attendance that was good. Yeah, thank you very much. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you.